go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
I'm very pleased to say we are joined now by Thomas Schieber. He currently is the vice president of the National Institute for Public Policy, an organization that I regard as among the most important in the national security space, certainly in Washington, D.C. He formerly, however, had a distinguished career in the military establishment, both in uniform and as a civilian. Notably, he was a naval aviator with some 2,500 hours serving in the A-4 and A-7 aircraft, and over 500 carrier landings and 82 combat missions. He went on from all of that to serve with distinction as the Director of Strike Policy and Integration in the Office of the Secretary of Defense. Always welcome here. Tom, thanks so much for joining us. Good to have you back.
Oh, thank you for having me today, Frank.
I want to call attention to and salute you, for that matter, for a new paper that you have produced at NIPP, entitled, I believe, An Assessment of U.S. Readiness to Design, Develop, and Produce Nuclear Warheads, Current Status, and Some Remedial Steps. First of all, thank you for the work that you and your colleagues do in focusing attention on what has increasingly become kind of a lost art, I think, or lost focus of national security attention. Talk a little bit about, you know, the degree to which we continue to rely on nuclear deterrence, and yet very few of us seem to be paying much attention to its condition and the need perhaps to improve that condition.
No, I think you've set that up well, Frank. It's something that many in the United States seem to take for granted. When the Cold War ended over a quarter of a century ago, many in the U.S., I believe, thought that the role of nuclear weapons for deterrence and assuring our allies was either over or greatly diminished, and that seemed to be an open question for a while. But over the last, I'll say, 5, 6, maybe 10 years, as we've watched what Russia and China are doing, that benign future for the world seems to have faded away, and we see a very aggressive Russia and China and very aggressive nuclear weapon modernization programs that are largely being ignored by any comparable capabilities in the United States.
Give us a sense of just how comprehensive the Russian and Chinese nuclear buildups are. How significant is this effort, as you see it now, and what are the implications? Does it matter that the Russians and Chinese have modern triads and perhaps some quite advanced capabilities to boot?
That's a great question, Frank. And there is a tremendous amount of information available from open sources. Let me just give you a quick summary. Just Russia, for example, in modernizing its ICBM, its Intercontinental Ballistic Missile Forces, they're developing a new, very heavy, very large ICBM that will be capable of carrying up to 15 nuclear warheads on each missile. We in the U.S. thought those kind of large missiles were passé and past their prime. The Russians don't seem to think so. Russians are modernizing their older ICBM systems, the SS-18, which is the current very large missile, and a smaller missile, the SS-19. They're building mobile systems, single warhead road mobile ICBMs, multiple warhead road mobile ICBMs, for example, one they call the Yars, and they've just started development of another solid motor road mobile ICBM that will carry multiple warheads. And that's just for their land-based ballistic missile force. They're modernizing strategic bombers, building new bombers, have declared plans to develop a new stealth bomber, and they're also modernizing their ballistic missile submarines, new missiles on them, and new warheads.
Tom, do you think it's fair, given all of that, to say that the Russians are at the very least not interested in proceeding down the road President Obama has talked about of a world without nuclear weapons, and that perhaps actually to the contrary, they believe they can achieve some kind of strategic superiority that, as you say, we may have thought was a thing of the distant past.
To say that they are not interested in proceeding down the nuclear arms reduction road is a great understatement. In fact, this building up their nuclear forces and modernizing those. In fact, there are many of their new Russian nuclear forces and Chinese that are not controlled by any arms control agreement. Building them up seems to serve the Russian strategy well. If you look at what kind of threats come out of senior Russian leaders, routinely they threaten nuclear weapons on our allies, against any ally that would deploy U.S. ballistic missile defense systems, against any U.S. ally, for example, those in NATO, that would be a base for advanced NATO forces, or former Soviet client states such as Georgia and Ukraine that were drawing closer to the West. And so U.S. allies are concerned. They're greatly concerned, and they're asking U.S. officials, what are you guys doing? What are you doing in response to deter Russia? And that's the focus of our report.
Well, and let's turn to that. We don't have time to address the Chinese. Let's just stipulate that they're up to much the same, it seems, in terms of their ambitions. But what have you found in your assessment, Tom Schabert, of the current status of the U.S. readiness to design, develop, and produce nuclear weapons?
Let me just mention that the report we've written is bipartisan. My co-author, John Harvey, served in Clinton and Obama administrations on these issues, and I served in the Bush administration. So we teamed up together to write a bipartisan report, and essentially we found in going through 20 years of studies on how to maintain proficiency in our capability to develop whatever is needed in the future for the country, the constant series of recommendations has been generated and ignored. For example, the policy of the U.S., whether we are designing or capable of designing new capabilities, it isn't really clear right now. Ask people and you'll get a variety of answers. Second, we have a whole generation of nuclear weapon designers and engineers at the national laboratories and in industry and in the military service who are about to retire, and they are training their replacements, and they have never developed a new type of nuclear warhead or nuclear weapon in their career, and they're trying to train people under them to develop judgment, skills, and capabilities to be ready for the nation in the future. That's not a formula for us to be ready to respond to whatever the Russian, Chinese, or others are doing.
And respond is kind of the operative word here. We're not doing things that would anticipate developments, some of which are being telegraphed, as you say, for example, a new strategic bomber that would be stealthy out of the Russian arsenal is something that's years off, presumably. But, you know, we're not sort of building in anticipation of this sort of development, let alone the others that you've mentioned, Tom Schaber. I'm struck by the fact that as we look at all of this, we're discussing one of the most important, if not the most important aspects of our national security. And as you said at the beginning, it's been taken for granted on a bipartisan basis, let me add, for decades. And Tom, I hope you might come back and allow us to spend maybe even a full hour talking about various aspects of what you found and the importance of corrective action. You've identified some remedial steps. I suggest they're urgently needed. And we look forward to having a chance to talk with you about all of them. Next up, we'll talk with Kevin Freeman. We'll get a sense of the shape and face of economic warfare at the moment and what it might mean for you. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.